Turn your Bibles to Psalm 62. Psalm chapter 62, a little departure from the technology series, and we'll come back and finish that up. But I want to share with you something from my devotion this morning, and then how it relates to what happened in my day. And it was very, very, very special. And the last 2 weeks in my personal life, there have been very specific things before the Lord that the Holy Spirit has taken the scriptures and given me very, very specific direction and what I needed. And I know that happens in your life, and it happens in my life, and it's just, it's really sweet when God takes time to talk to you. And he did in a very special way today, and I just want to share it with you. Psalm 62, and just want you to look down through the passage and look at the word only. Will you look at that word with me tonight? Verse number 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. And verse number 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And verse number 5, my soul wait thou only upon God. And verse number 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. And many authors would write that the word truly in verse number 1 and the word surely in verse number 9 are also the same word as only. Psalm 62 has been called the only, quotation marks around it, psalm, because it brings that word out so strong in the short psalm that it is. It was written when Absalom was trying to take over the throne of David. David was not in the tabernacle or Jerusalem. Most likely he was not when he wrote this psalm. We get the idea that it was with Absalom and not Saul, because in verse number 4, the Bible says they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And David was in his excellency as king. And obviously his enemies were trying to dislodge him from being king. David could retreat from Jerusalem, being vulnerable, and still speaking forth words of victory. That's pretty wild. On the run, left his home, pretty much from the human perspective, it looks like Absalom's going to succeed. And yet, look at what he's saying in these verses. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Verse number 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Trust in him at all times. Verse number 8, ye people, trust not in oppression. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this in verse number 11, that power belongeth unto God. How do you talk to God? And how do you talk about God when you're on the run, when you're in trouble? Something to learn from David in the only psalm. You can talk about God right, and you can talk to God right, even in trouble. I have a Spurgeon study Bible, and it's a very, very good study Bible. And Spurgeon on this text in his study Bible said this. He said he had no confidence anywhere, David, speaking of David, but God. He goes on to say David had no mixed reliance in this text. By constantly referring to the word only, it shows he had proved maybe to be a failure in resolving it himself, but now he hung his bare arm on God alone. There is certainly enough for us to depend on there, on God alone. The soul, your soul, is apt to be dragged away from its anchor and is readily tempted in trouble to add a second confidence or reliance, or object of faith. And I'm reading this morning, and we're getting ready to go to a meeting with South Penn Codes at 8 o'clock this morning. And it's a giant to me, so to speak. First of all, it's not my knowledge base, so everything we talk about is, seems to like be way up here. Secondly, there are obstacles. We know that to building. I have no idea. Thirdly, I didn't know these people. First time we ever met with these people. And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, well, you know, at least our architect knows what he's doing and he's put together plans and he's tried to prepare to present this so that they'll see that we don't need sprinklers. And I'm reading Psalm 62 and God's saying, don't trust that. Don't trust that. And I'm going in thinking, well, Pastor Todd will be there, and so there's at least three of us thinking, and maybe we can reason on these matters, and maybe one of us will come up with a reason, and God's very specifically speaking to me, don't trust that. Trust me. Trust me alone. And I learned this morning. God loves it when we cast ourselves entirely upon Him about something. He says, number one, my soul finds rest in God alone. In the only psalm in the Bible, Psalm 62, we can see that his soul finds rest in God alone. Look at verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. The word defense there means high ground. If I have God, I have the high ground. How many of you have been over to Gettysburg at Little Round Top? You know what I'm talking about, okay? You know that that was high ground, right? Right, Brother Bobby? High ground. And the Yankees got that high ground. And they got it just a couple split minutes before the other side, Brother Bobby. I was going to say rebels. That's not the right word. So the Confederacy got it, right? Did the high ground make a difference? Oh, yeah. You know what David was saying? Even though he was away from Jerusalem with God, he was in high ground. That's amazing to me. Do you consider in your trouble that you're still in the high ground? Because David did. His soul could rest. Waiteth here in verse number 5, wait. Wait thou only upon God. Verse number 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God means to be silent. It means to be still. It means to be calm. Only to God did he look with complete calmness. And I'm reading this, and man, God is calming me. He's encouraging me. He's growing my faith this morning. He advised his soul to be still. He tells it to be sure. In verse number 2, I shall not greatly be moved. In verse number 6, I shall not be moved. He is saying that when I focus on everything that God is, it has a stilling effect and it has a silencing effect of my soul. And look at the words here. When you look at all the names that he gives God, he attaches my to many of them in the chapter. My expectation, my rock, my salvation, my glory, my strength, my refuge. McGee wrote, it is the word my which puts the honey in the comb. I like how he said that. It's one thing for God to be a refuge, generally speaking. I can still rejoice in that. But oh, how much sweeter it is when I know he's my refuge. My. When he saw it was my, this God was his. And all of these factors, it had a silencing effect and a stilling effect on his soul. He talks about him being his rock, which implies stability and protection. A little Scottish woman got up in a testimony meeting and gave her testimony and said, you know, sometimes I tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me. Sometimes in the trouble, we tremble, but the rock never trembles. He's our rock. I think it puts it in perspective. Be silent. How can I rest my soul in God? Well, you have to rest alone in Him. Be silent. Be still. Be strong. Let God accomplish that work. The time in the Word this morning for me, this passage the Holy Spirit took and He brought it to my heart before I was going into something that was concerning, troubling, weighing. I don't know if you get in positions like that. I do. And it helped me. Think about this. To get at David, Absalom would first have to crush that rock, cancel the deliverance, and conquer the defense or the high ground. And David knew there ain't no way Absalom's going to take all that. This is God. What a perspective. His personal weakness might have caused him to be somewhat moved, but his faith would come in to prevent any great disturbance in his life. His soul found rest. Number two, his soul found hope. To trust in God and view others in light of God. This is important. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. A bowing wall is not strong. A tottering fence is not strong. Question, in the people's eyes, did Absalom look strong? Yep. But in David's eyes, you're a tottering fence. And you're a bowing wall. You're coming down, my friend. Why? Because he had hope in God, he could have right perspective of men. That's important. That's important in a country where we're living, where a federal government is looking like it has all power to tell us everything. But they're a tottering fence and a bowing wall when it comes to God. David was realistic enough to know that Absalom had charisma. He had charm. He was the best looking man in the kingdom. He had a way of winning others' people's hearts, but without spirituality. But he also knew God. And the image of a tottering fence suggests weakness and susceptibility. As men tried to topple a city wall or fence, the wicked attempted to overthrow David, who they thought was vulnerable. But David knew God. And David knew who was really vulnerable. And that was Absalom. Brethren, we will never keep a right view of men unless we keep a right view of God. David had a right view of God. Their might was powerless against God. It's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Psalm 62, he's writing pretty strong. He's writing pretty bold. He's saying, hey, they're going to be taken over. Power belongeth unto God. I shall not be moved. God is my rock. How could David be that bold? He knew my God and your God. And what's that lead us to? My soul should trust in God at all times. Look at verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. We should trust when we can see, as well as when we are utterly in the dark. Adversity is a fit season for faith, but prosperity is not less so. God at all times deserves our confidence. And what is the evidence of that in verse number 8? When you pour out your heart before Him. That's how you show you trust God. And I'm a man, I'm in the flesh, and I know we prayed over these meetings, but I'm still trying to figure it out, reason it out. What can we do to make the best presentation possible, yada, yada, yada. And God convicted me this morning. And God said, me only. Just put your hope and your rest and your trust in me only. I walked away from that and was convicted that my heart was not there. Verses 8, 9, and 10, don't trust in men, verse number 9. Don't trust in might, verse number 10. Trust in oppression, using force. And don't trust in money, verse number 10. Don't trust in those things. That takes away trust in God alone. Power did not reside in David. He was simply a great king because God made him a great king. But he had come to realize in this situation that God had all power. We walked into a meeting across the street this morning. We met with two people from South Penn Codes and our architect regarding that building. We walked into that meeting. Our biggest concern was the sprinkler system. And we got into a discussion with the code inspector, and he brought up the whole problem of zoning and said, I don't even know. We don't know about zoning, whether or not it will work. You may have to go to the zoning board. You may have to have a hearing. And if they turn it down, then you can appeal it at the court level. And I felt like as he was talking, wait, we are going back to square one. And about, he said, well, let me call the owner of our company, see if I can get him here. He called him. He showed up 5 minutes later. He said, this is a miracle. He said, we can never get together in a day like this. He turned to his owner and said, let's talk about zoning. You know, there's a rooming provision, but this doesn't really fit the rooming provision, this part of the design. And so he said, what about the church provision? And the owner looked at him and said, yeah, it's an accessory to the church, no problem. Zoning's fixed. We then brought sprinkler system up. Pastor Hendricks can verify. We talked about it for 20 minutes maybe, 15, 20 minutes. And at the end of the conversation, he said, sprinkler's not going to be a problem. You're not going to have a sprinkler system. We then talked about septic. There were some concerns about the septic as far as what we need over here. And we had kind of concluded the meeting by understanding that we would have to have somebody to come in and evaluate the septic, possibly make an expansion plan, deal with DEP. Definitely is going to require time in the process and definitely going to require money. We needed some prints from the secretary. They didn't even know if they had them. He went during the meeting to the secretary to see if she could find them in the next day or so. We were leaving the meeting, and I left my business cards out in my car, so I brought my business cards back in to give to each of those officers. And they said, hey, is your architect still here? I said, yeah, I think he is. We pulled him in. They pulled out the plans. They looked through them. They found the occupancy of the remodel in 2007. And when they looked at those occupancy numbers, they said, you're not going to come close to that. He said, architect, if you can just show those numbers, you probably aren't going to have to do anything regarding the sewer. That's probably taken care of. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching walls go up, and I'm watching walls go down. We talked about with the stewards about getting started on the demolition either late this fall or early in the new year. And one of the questions we had was, what could we do that without the building permits? And they said, oh, no problem whatsoever. Go ahead and get started. We talked about the building permits cost, and we felt like it was very, very reasonable cost for the permits that we're going to need. Those permits are renewable. We can do it in phases. We can have partial occupancy for whatever we are able to finish. And I walked away and I said, God, I trust you. And I stopped our architect on the way out and I said, Ed, I got to talk to you. I got to share with you what God taught me about himself this morning. And he's the architect sitting in this meeting and he's blown away. I think that's a fair word. He's watching this happen. And these things just, nope, don't have to worry about that, don't have to worry about that, don't have to worry about that. And I said, Ed, have you ever seen anything like that before? I said, I'll tell you what it is. I said, it's only God. I said, we don't trust in men. We trust in God. And I said, God taught me that this morning. He convicted me about that. And I said, what you just watched was an act of God. Gave us tremendous favor with two guys we never met before. I thought, in all that, I should share something that God dealt with me about and share with you the blessings of praying for your church. I know you've prayed. I'm not saying everything's done, right? We're in a building situation. Things can come up still. But God just showed himself to us. And for that, we want to give God the glory. So I say tonight, in whatever you're looking at, let your soul rest. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your everything that he was to David. In whatever you're facing, put your hope alone in him. My expectation, my hope is in God. Number three, trust him at all times. That's what David told his men. Trust ye the people. Trust ye the Lord at all times. He learned that, and then he taught that. Whatever you're in, trust the Lord at all times. And you will be able to write your only psalm. David wrote it from experience. David had to learn it. And we have to learn it. And may that encourage you tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Stand with me if you would. But rejoice over those good things. Continue to pray for wisdom as we work on those matters. All right?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.